We got one more hour to go here on the EA show. Appreciate you tuning in so far. And like I said earlier, you can always podcast whatever you miss at 991thesportsanimal.com. We're brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of UT Athletics, and the Eric Gaines Show. And we're joined now by Kaner, who's going to fill in for Brian. Brian had some other stuff he had to go get done. What's up, Kaner? What are you doing, man? Long lost BFF.
I know, man. It's been months since we've talked, dude. How you doing?
I'm good. Did you happen to go to practice yesterday or Saturday?
Yeah, man, I made my way there. Yeah. I was in attendance there. Me and about 1,500 of my closest friends.
Nice. I like that. All right. Give me something that you saw. So real quick on Friday, we were talking about the open practice, and I cautioned everybody from determining who you think the starting quarterback should be based on what you see at an open practice. Because, and I only think it's fair to do this, if the head football coach, who's also the coordinator, and on some level the quarterback coach, if he's leaving Neyland Stadium and doesn't know who the starting quarterback is, should anybody else know who the starting quarterback is?
No, I would agree with that. And, I mean, you saw, again, which has been kind of consistent with, first of all, I want to apologize. My voice is a little hoarse right now, so I'm not sounding like my normal, just elegant self.
No, you sound beautiful.
But, you know, the quarterbacks, it's been consistent all spring practice that each one of these guys, Hendon Hooker, Harrison Bailey, and Brian Maurer, have each kind of rotated in there with the first group. And they've taken turns repping with the ones, the twos, and the threes. You saw that for the most part on Saturday as well. Josh Heupel mentioned on Thursday that each quarterback, you know, right now is designated to go with the ones on one day, and then the others will be the twos and the threes. I think Hendon Hooker's day to be with the ones was on Saturday because typically he was the first quarterback out there. But again, like you said, that doesn't mean that he's the starting quarterback. All those guys got reps with the ones. I think none of those quarterbacks, in my opinion, really showed out on Saturday. It's not like they were lighting it up, but I thought Hendon Hooker was solid. I thought he was fine. Brian Maurer, same old, same old. He struggled for most of the day, you know, being inconsistent with his throws, and then he was on fire there for a little bit, especially in the situational going into the end zone. Had a nice little rollout pass, touchdown pass. He made some plays with his legs. He made some nice throws. I thought Harrison Bailey was probably the third best quarterback on Saturday that I saw. But again, this is one practice that fans got to see. This is one practice that me as a media member got to see the whole way through. Outside of that, we just get to see a couple periods a couple times a week. So I would completely agree with you. There's not a starting quarterback right now. Nothing that I saw on Saturday makes me believe that anyone is really in the lead per se. And I don't think Josh Heupel knows who the starting quarterback is right now.
That's the big thing. You know, it's like you go through. I said before spring practice started that I think that when spring practice is over, he will have it narrowed down to probably two, and he may be leaning towards a certain player, but nothing will be clean-cut, clear-cut, answered, done deal, lock it up, that's the starting quarterback. That won't happen because the guys are all going to get a bunch of reps. It kind of reminds me of when JG went to spring practice in Pruitt's first year and Keller Christ couldn't practice yet. And so Jarrett, of all the guys out there practicing, was so far and above everybody else that you didn't necessarily say he's the starter, but you left spring practice leaning one direction because you didn't get to see the other guy play at all. And it's hard in a week and a half of training camp to beat somebody out. So these guys are going to go through all three of them, and I'm willing to cut Harrison Bailey and Brian Maurer a lot of slack. Now that we know a lot of the stuff we know about how the offensive operation was running during the last couple years, last year especially. And then Hendon Hooker, you probably have more film on him than anybody, but it was against slow ACC teams, and he was okay. You know, he was pretty good. Yeah. He wasn't off the page, like, amazing or anything like that. I caution everybody from deciding who you think the starting quarterback should be. Let's wait until Josh Heupel announces who the starting quarterback is, and then watch them play to determine whether he got it wrong or he got it right.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to handicap who you might think would be. Because, I mean, if you ask me right now, Eric, who do you think starts week one? I'll probably say Hendon Hooker because, number one, before I even saw any spring practice whatsoever, just coming in, the slate is clean for all three of those guys. New coach, new scheme, new offense. What do I know? What have I seen from these guys? Well, so far I've seen Brian Maurer hot and cold. I've seen Harrison Bailey come in and do some nice thing. I really liked his poise and really his play extending ability there at times last year in the last couple games of the season for Harrison Bailey. He had his struggles, of course. He was a true freshman. And then Hendon Hooker, like you said, throughout his career, he's been okay. He's been solid. He's not been great. He's not been bad. He's been okay. So if you ask me, like, right now, who would I handicap being the starting quarterback week one, I would say Hendon Hooker, but there's so much left in spring practice. There's so many guys who are not a part of the team right now or not with the team right now who will be here, meaning some more of these incoming freshmen, potentially some more guys coming in from the transfer portal, some guys who are injured right now and not practicing with the team full go, and all that's going to be there in fall camp, and then you're really going to duke it out. And all of the slate for all three of these guys, again, is completely clean because they didn't have a playbook coming into this whole Josh Heupel thing. So they're all kind of learning on the go. I think it's easier to say, well, you feel good about Hendon Hooker's chances because he's the most experienced. He knows the speed of the game, even though he's moving from one conference to the next. He's done it the most. But I think all these guys, there's a big learning curve for all these guys. And you know Josh Heupel, he's a quarterback coach. Joey Halsey, quarterback coach. Those guys are coaching those guys every single day. And they are working to get them caught up as quickly as they can. Josh Heupel said on Thursday that, of course, they're a long way to go, but all those guys got equal reps in the scrimmage, and they took care of the football. They were pretty solid in their decision-making abilities. They ran the offense with Tippo from the good portion of it, and so it's off to a good start. Are they where they want to be right now? Absolutely not. And I don't think we saw enough from Saturday to see that they are as well. So it'll be interesting. It'll come down to the wire, probably game week, you know, in the fall and everything, and then if history is any indicator, Eric, there's been, and this is not a good thing, but there's been multiple starting quarterbacks for Tennessee the last couple of years since Josh Dobbs has exited the program. So even if you start week one, that might not necessarily mean you're the guy the entire season.
And I've been thinking this for a long time. The actual mechanics and time frame of what you have to do and accomplish to jump somebody on the depth chart is really, really hard to do. Usually it's a combination of how well you're doing and how poorly they're doing, which makes it an even playing field more, and then you go out there. What I hope doesn't happen, and there's no way to control this. If you're actually running an open competition and everyone's getting an opportunity, then you can't control how one guy does versus another guy. Even if you're leaning one direction, even if Heupel was leaning towards Hooker because of everything you just said, if Bailey or Maurer is doing as well or better than him, that immediately goes out the window. What I don't want to happen is have three guys splitting reps and have three guys kind of ready, pretty ready, and then you got to narrow it down to two. You cannot go into the second week of training camp this summer without knowing which one of two guys you're really going to give a shot to, because there aren't enough reps like in spring ball to give everybody equal reps with the ones. That just doesn't exist. Otherwise, you'll start your season and you'll have three unprepared, not ready quarterbacks.
And again, that's why Harrison Bailey took so long, in my opinion, to get into the games last year, because of COVID, because of the weird practice schedule, because of all the time off, because of all the guys that were out, they had to shrink their teams down to where normally, Eric, you guys would be going on offense four spot, all four quarterbacks get an equal amount of reps for a little bit, but Tennessee was never able to go four spot. It had to go two spot, and Garantano was getting all the reps with the ones, and the other three were splitting time with the twos. And so anytime you're not getting reps, you're not getting better. So I completely agree. When you head in to the second week, you know, 2 weeks and a half, third week especially a fall camp, you got to have your guy, your 1-2, and they got to be getting all those reps until you can make your decision. So I've got a couple other questions I want to ask you about the quarterbacks and some things that I've seen so far in spring practice and some things that I saw Saturday that I didn't necessarily like. But again, it is spring practice and it's not game week. So a lot more conversation about Saturday's open practice for the Tennessee Volunteers as we are now officially over the halfway point of Tennessee spring practice with the orange and white game just right around the corner. More Tennessee football talk on the other side as the Eric Ainge Show rolls on.
Welcome back into the EA Show. Appreciate you tuning in to us. Kaner filling in for Brian here for the rest of the show today. I'm excited to get over there this week and watch a little football there, Kaner.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you have your hands full with a little daycare going on at the house every single day. Have you had a chance to watch a Heupel practice yet?
I haven't been over there. I was going to go last week, but then I don't remember what happened, but I didn't. I'm going this week sometime.
Okay. Obviously
Tuesday
we saw
or Thursday, one of the two.
I'll see you there, buddy. We saw 2 hours worth
no
on Saturday, which
Kaner.
Was nice.
When I'm there, like I can't, be getting distracted. So don't come ask me for autographs or anything.
Oh, I already
like
got
that.
My autograph from you 2 years ago. Remember with the your player card, and then you spelled my name wrong and put it in my office. Yeah, I already got that. It's still hanging up.
Oh, you did. Did you hear the story about Reggie?
No.
You didn't see this?
No.
So apparently last week it was brought to my attention on Twitter that after a game while I was in college, because I pride myself on this not being a thing ever.
Oh, you blew somebody off. I didn't see this.
I blew him
yeah.
off. Yeah, his yeah. name's Reggie. And apparently I just was like, I like big timed him like crazy and was just like, I'm out of here. And then he told me what game it was. 05 Georgia game, and I didn't play in that game because I was so banged up and had multiple concussions, and so I probably didn't want to be there anymore. I absolutely could have seen myself doing that with all of those circumstances, because otherwise I always stayed long enough that they ended up one of the wonderful KPD officers that was working there would like get me out of there and take me to my car or yeah. wherever I was going. So that was not a thing. I did not stiff people like that, but yeah, I talking about autographs.
Well, I heard you guys buried the hatchet. It came onto the show. Is that right?
Yeah, he called in. He did.
That's awesome. But anyway, I will steer clear of you at practice. But, when I've been at practice, saw 2 hours on Saturday, and of course, I've seen a couple of practices, a couple of periods throughout the weeks. When I'm watching the quarterbacks, and you know how it is, Eric, when media is there, we only get to see a couple of periods, and we see typically the same things. They're working exchanges with the running backs as the running backs are working on inside run. They're going over there practicing their steps and, pocket presence and their rollouts and all that. And then they go and they link up with the wide receivers and the tight ends and they, throw routes on air. And so that's really all we get to see observing the quarterbacks. But from what I've seen so far, Brian Maurer, and this has been the case for Brian Maurer his entire career at UT, he absolutely has the highest upside. His mechanics are so, they look so good, in my opinion, in terms of his release. It's the quickest. His feet are good. We know he's got a lively arm, a strong arm. It's just his inconsistencies of throwing too high, throwing behind receivers, throwing below, all that type of stuff. Hendon Hooker's been solid, has a big arm. He can make the deep throws. He checked down a lot on Saturday, but I've seen him make long throws in practice. It's not like he's suffering from arm strength. His mechanics are fine. His release is fine. And then Harrison Bailey, compared to the other two guys, his release is a lot slower, something that I've noticed. And judging, these quarterbacks and the little bit you've seen of Hendon Hooker, I guess, on film and on television and all that, kind of from a mechanical standpoint, what do you like about these three guys? Because I've been consistent in saying, from a pure ability standpoint, Brian Maurer is the best one, but it takes a lot more than just pure ability to play quarterback, as you know.
Well, I think that part of the – so I'll start by saying this. Harrison Bailey – doesn't have a hitch in his motion at all. It's not like he has anything awkward. He brings the ball down a little bit before he brings it up. He kind of like puts it back a little further. So as opposed to like throwing like a catcher would where you're just up and out, mm-hmm. he has a little bit of an elongated motion, but it's important to say so do a ton of guys that play and at a high level in the NFL, in college. It's not his delivery. Yeah, naturally in like a drill, Maurer would catch it and get it out faster than he would. But none of that really matters, in my opinion, as far as getting the ball out of your hand, because a quick release comes with knowledge and understanding. When you know exactly what to do with the ball, we used to say, it was kind of my takeaway, I summed it up like this after working with Cut for a couple years and then being around Gruden, in Schottenheimer in the NFL, it was where, when, and accurate. Do you know where to go with the ball? Do you know when it needs to be delivered there? And when you throw it, is it accurate? And if those things are right, then you're the starter on every team you're on. If you always know where to go and you know when to go there, you know, whether it's progression one, progression two, whether it's this window, the next window, quick game, getting it out before the blitz gets there, you have to know all of that stuff to have a quick release. Brian Mauer's had a quick release, but not a quick mental release since he's been here. Mm-hmm. That's why he scrambles so much. That's why he looks confused a lot of the time, holds onto the ball. But guess what? So did Harrison Bailey. Harrison Bailey last year playing, even in the circumstance he got put in, I could tell if he knew what was going on just by his demeanor and how quick he got the ball out. In several games, remember, he's just standing back there in the pocket and holding it and holding it and holding it, and everyone's going, throw the ball! And then he takes a sack. That's because he doesn't know what to do with it. And there's nothing scarier than being a quarterback in the SEC in the pocket, collapsing down on top of you and having no confidence that what you saw is right.
Was that the same issue with Garantano back in 2018?
It's been the same issue with them over there for all, because Jarrett had games and halves where, if you watch football, I don't care what you think of Jarrett Garantano, if you watch what he did with the ball, he was on time or early, accurate, and looked like a champ. I mean, look at like the different games he played in where it made sense to him and he saw it. He threw for 400 yards and had three receivers with over 100 yards receiving against Mizzou. He had a lot of really good games. The problem was with his development, when things got thrown off or when they disguised it a little bit better, like Florida, think Florida in, I guess, what it would have been, 2018 maybe? Or no, maybe.
Yeah. 2018 was home game.
So 2019 then, when they brought Mauer in after he threw two picks. All they did was kick the coverage weak, which is easy. You just have to work strong. It's basically cover two to one side and three deep to the other, and everybody on the other side, away from the kick side, it's all off coverage. They're all bailing. There's underneath routes, check downs. You can throw whatever you want over there, but you can't work into the kick side. If you do, there's like four or five DBs to two receivers. And he threw that ball on the back shoulder of Callaway because Callaway read it right and was going outside release up the sideline, and he should be a dead option. And Jarrett threw it to him. And I went back and watched it and ended up asking him later. He was like, I thought it was just cover two. And he was like, it wasn't. It was kick. And it was because they did it late and it messed with them. And then the ball gets turned over. You know? And so it's like you have, the only way to play quarterback consistently very well is to be the smartest guy on the field. And if that means running less stuff, but always knowing where and when to throw the ball so you can be accurate. Sometimes where and when is out, get it out of your hand over the guy's head out of bounds because you're in the pocket and you can't scramble. It's collapsing on you. Where and when is over his head, sail it 10 feet over his head into the sideline so you don't get a grounding call. That is the right answer sometimes. So it's just really hard. That takes time to teach. There's no way that Hooker, Mauer, or Bailey are doing things at the speed and seeing things at the speed and tempo, at the rate in which Heupel wants them to see and process information. There's a 0% chance that any of those three are currently doing that to his expectation level.
That's absolutely. Why I think it's, and plus, so open. The live bullets they're seeing at practice. Yeah, Tennessee's going live. Tennessee went live a little bit Saturday, but Eric, you can attest, it's nothing like what you're going to see in an SEC game. I mean, yeah, you can be going live, you can be coming, you know, doing blitzes off the edge from the second level, whatever the case may be in practice. But when you get back there to the quarterback, you're dead. You do not touch the quarterback. And so you're not processing it where the coaches want you to yet, because, again, you're still early in this scheme and everything, but you're also not seeing the live action you're going to see against a quality SEC opponent as well. So I guess my point is, it's really hard to tell from what we see at practice exactly how these guys are progressing in terms of that, in the efficiency of running the offense and seeing things, reacting and getting that ball out quickly. Because you're right. Too, I can sit here and watch him drill, and I can tell you right now, Brian Mauer looks the best from watching drilling, but
yeah, and
obviously that more comes from it than just drilling.
Yeah, I mean, that is necessary. You got to be able to do that, but I mean, how often have we seen, man, I remember playing quarterback in 7-on-7 with Peyton Manning when I was a freshman in college. I was just turned 18 years old. Peyton was in his prime. I mean, it's 2004. He's like vintage Peyton with the Colts, like just best physical peak condition. And I could throw the ball harder and farther than him, and it wasn't particularly close. And I remember being 18, be like, oh, my God, I have a stronger arm than Peyton Manning. This is crazy. this is crazy. And all the guys were like, dude, that's awesome. And then I threw the ball to the other team like three times. I was missing guys. Peyton had never thrown to the receivers that he was throwing to. It were our guys. And he missed one by like 6 inches. And it was still catchable. And he was saying words that most elderly Tennessee fans would like to picture their Peyton not saying. And I was like, he caught, and I was like, what's the problem? And he was like, that ball needs to be here. It's incomplete. And I was like, yeah, but he dropped it. No, he didn't. He dropped it if I put it where it needed to be. Then if he doesn't catch it, it's a drop. I didn't put it where it needed to. Like, he was so insane, 6 inches off of a full speed human. And he was unhappy. And I just remember being like, holy cow, arm strength and quick release and all that kind of stuff mean absolutely nothing, because I already have a stronger arm and can get it out just as quick or quicker than he can. And look at how much better he is than me. You know what I mean? I was like, well, we're not in the same stratosphere. So arm strength doesn't mean much anything to me. Quick release, okay. Who is the smartest guy? Because none of these guys are going to run in the SEC. If you think Hendon Hooker is going to go win games for us by running, you're wrong. That's just not, he might tuck one down and pull it every once in a while and go make some yards, but he's not Josh Dobbs. And that's not how it works in this league. So it all is about who can grasp it the quickest and get the smartest, the fastest. That's the guy you'll see playing on Saturday.
And on the way out here for this segment, what did Joey Halsey say during his press conference whenever the offensive coaches met with us when they got hired? When asked, I think Jimmy even asked this question, how would you rank these attributes for a quarterback? Smarts, accuracy, legs, or, you know, escapability, whatever the case may be. He said, you absolutely have to be a smart quarterback to run this offense because you're processing, you know, everything at such a fast pace. You've got to be accurate to play quarterback because you can have the best arm in the world, but if you can't hit anybody, what's it good for you? And then, you know, having legs to do some more things in the offense is great, but that's third, that's last for sure. So you've got to be intelligent. You got to be able to process things in a quick manner. You've got to be accurate with the football. And then the legs come in three. So we'll talk more about quarterbacks on the other side. Plus, I want to ask Eric's opinion on the defense. There's a lot of defensive concerns right now. How concerning is it right now here midway through spring? What should we take from it after we saw Saturday's practice at Neyland Stadium? More on that on the other side as the Eric Ainge Show continues on here on The Sports Animal and on The Sports Monster.
865-656-9900, 866-656-9900. Right now, Joel Silverberg, Eric Kane, and myself, Angie, taking you all the way to the top of the hour, like we do every day.
So, Ange, I know you've seen the tweets, you've read the reports, and I'm going to say again right here, defense did not look great on Saturday. And, I mean, there's been a lot of attrition on that side of the football, players leaving due to graduation, players leaving to go and take advantage of their eligibility elsewhere, players hitting the transfer portal. There's a number of players who are injured right now, a couple at the linebacker level that's probably going to help out that unit come fall. So there's, especially at linebacker, there's some weaknesses out there right now. But in the sessions that we saw on Saturday, when Tennessee would go 11-on-11, situational football, it'd be live bullets flying around. You got the 20 going in, working on red zone. Flip it around, go Riverside, 20 going out, working on third downs and stuff. The offense just had its way with the defense. I mean, just really did. And, I mean, I think some of that can be credit to the offense and to the offensive line and to everybody over there. But when you have essentially guys who are playing at positions right now that probably won't play a big factor come fall, I think it does hinder your defense right now. It's good for those guys getting opportunities. They're getting better. I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I don't think it's time to overreact whatsoever, but it was a little bit alarming watching the offense just march all over the defense on Saturday. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a couple things. One, both sides are putting in something new. And yep. Defensively, what they're doing, in my opinion, is more different than what they're doing offensively. And when you have the page one versus page one of install, the defense loses almost the entire element of surprise and trickery or disguising what they're doing. You just kind of line up and play. And on offense, when you play line up and play football, and you're not calling these elaborate blitzes and coming off the edge and overload this side and drop. Once you get
makes
to doing
easier.
All that stuff, yeah, I mean, you were a linebacker. You know harder. You know how hard it is when it's, well, we're just going to play base cover three here.
And Tennessee was extremely vanilla on Saturday, I will say that. And Theo Jackson, when he met with us in the media last week, he said that everything's so simple right now, and it's allowing them to think less and play faster.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I think that's the case right now. But as time goes on, I know that's where you're going with this. As time goes on, that playbook will get longer. They'll start implementing, installing new things, and they'll be able to do some things from the back end, disguising things, and up front as well. But we didn't see that on Saturday.
No, and it's gonna be real basic. But I remember, so like, I'll give you a personal anecdote. When I had a coaching change when I was in college, and just about anybody who played high school or college football has gone through a coaching change at some point in time. And I remember when Cut got there and we started learning, I kept being the naive, you know, 19, 20-year-old kid that I was. I kept waiting for the new plays and, what are we going to draw in the dirt? I just didn't have any idea, like no clue. And we spent a month before we even got to spring practice only talking about defense. We went through the – he went as far as to teach us the origin of the zone blitz and where it came from, and the Chicago Bears in 1974, and then the Dolphins in 87, and like all the way through it all. And, you know, like, but it was interesting. It was something we liked. And so we learned all this stuff about defense. When we started putting offensive plays in and getting ready for install and all that, I knew so much about defensive football that I could already almost in like a day tell why he was calling the play he wanted. Oh, because it's going to be this coverage, because the defense just had to play base cover three quarters, which is what Chavis did. You know, it's like 3x1, they're going to roll into cover three, 2x2, or even they're going to play quarters behind it. It was so simple, and I knew so much about their responsibilities that we called our basic stuff, and I was just killing them. And I remember, like, even going over to him like a giddy child, like a kid on Christmas, like, oh my God, what you did, it worked. Like, I remember going over there and be like, I know everything. And he was like, no, you don't. And I was like, well, I know a lot more than I did. And he was like, there you go. So I'm just saying, like, these guys on defense right now, they're not playing the same game. First off, there's not – you just said it. A bunch of guys are hurt, not even out there. And they're trying to get to be good at their base. If you can't play what you do, then there is no disguising of anything that's going to matter. Right? I mean, like,
yeah.
They're in the phase where it's like, I remember another time, the wide receiver DBs, we were doing one-on-ones, throwing the ball, and this was at practice. You know, anybody could have watched this. And Cutcliffe started hollering out the routes. You know, and it's always like signaled and like, we don't want the defense to know what we're running. And we had big receivers, Jason Swain, Robert Meacham, Brett Smith. Like, we had guys that were bigger than the DBs. And Cut said, they're going to pick a signal, or they're going to hear the play call, or they're going to recognize it at some point. You still have to be able to get it done. And so it made the receivers like furious. And they went out there throwing bows, running curl routes, throwing DBs on the ground. And it was amazing. And one little drill totally changed their mentality as wide receivers. And I just think that kind of stuff, that's what you want to hear out of spring. You want to hear a backup linebacker or a lineman or a quarterback or whatever say they got better at something. They have to have that to hold on to take into the off season. And right now it's hard for the defense when you scrimmage because they don't do anything. They don't make any of those calls. Hey, guess what? The offense is going to know that you're playing cover three. Does that mean that when you give up a 40-yard touchdown that we get in the post game? Well, they knew we were in cover three.
No.
Are you kidding? Yeah, come on. Like, that's not how it's played. So they're challenging them with the basics so they can just see who's got the drive and who can handle what. And you always can build on that. But, I mean, you played linebacker. Did you know how that is? When you're on defense, it's harder anyway because you have so many different things to read and run, pass, quarterback run, all that different stuff. You got to be able to handle all that. And I think they're a little further along on offense right now with the stuff they're doing than they are on the defense, which would lend itself to that kind of an outing.
Yeah, typically the defense is ahead of the game, but yeah, the offense is certainly ahead of the game right now. And hey, keep in mind too, your three, you know, first three linebackers out there for Tennessee right now in spring is Quazi Garland, Solon Page, Morvin Joseph. I think Morvin Joseph will be a player, but he played a little edge last year. He played a little bit inside. He's only going to be a sophomore. This is, and for a lot of these guys too, Eric, I think we often forget, you know, for those freshmen last year, this is the first time they've gone through spring. They didn't have a spring practice last year. And so still very raw to the game. But Joseph, Page, and Garland are your first three linebackers right now. You've got Roman Harrison, Jeremy Banks, who weren't even out there on Saturday until the very end, and they weren't dressed out. They're injured right now. Of course, we know Croach and Tuotua are in the transfer portal. Even more so than that, you had Tyler Barron, who was a little limited. He did drill work on Saturday, but he didn't do any 11-on-11 stuff from what I saw. You had guys like him, Jaquan Blakely on the defensive line, appeared to be a little limited as well. I didn't see Omari Thomas out there. I'm not really sure what his status is in terms of he might be banged up a little bit. So, you know, the defense was missing some things. I do want to point out real quick, and I know we got to get a break here, but Willie Martinez, when he met with the media, said that they're mixing and matching back there. They're allowing cornerbacks to play a little star, safeties play a little star, just trying to find, you know, who can do what and who works well with the others. And that was on display. We saw Jalen McCullough, you know, playing some star out there with the ones. Theo Jackson played some star. Tamarian McDonald played some star. Alante Taylor was repping with the twos a little bit on Saturday. And again, all this doesn't matter. Alante Taylor is your best cornerback. He's going to be out there every time Tennessee's on defense. But mixing and matching and trying to figure some things out, that's where defense is right now. So is it good right now? Absolutely not. It was embarrassing, in my opinion, for that unit on Saturday because the offense just had its way. But it's not time to panic. Plenty of time to get through. And I feel like at some point they're going to get some reinforcements in some of those positions that they need. But Tennessee trying to create depth nonetheless, and that's a great opportunity for those guys who are out there right now to take advantage of it, get better, and try to find a role come fall time. So it'll be interesting to see. But we'll have some more conversations on Tennessee open practice and find out what we learned on the other side here on the Eric Gaines Show.
Gainer, it's time for us to find out what we learned today on the EA Show, or just in general in life. You know, we could throw in some philosophy or anything else like that that, you know, we may have touched on or that you have learned today. What if anything, have you learned today, Gainer?
Well, I certainly haven't learned any philosophy here on the Eric Gaines Show from 11 to noon.
We could start that. You know, I could, you know, dive into it a little bit.
I don't know how helpful it will be, but I put the helmet on a little bit, went inside the huddle, talked to the quarterback, and kind of learned a little bit about what's going on for a quarterback and what's important takeaways from viewing practice like on Saturday, viewing practice when we go throughout the week, and knowing that obviously what you see is important, but it's obviously not everything. And you know, I didn't learn this, but you know that we're nowhere near knowing who the quarterback for this football team is going to be come fall. So it was kind of fun talking shop, talking quarterback with you today, man.
You know, I feel like right now with where the team is at, of all the different personnel and decisions and where guys are going to play and how they're going to fit, I would say if Josh Heupel had a full staff meeting of everyone on the offense and defensive side of the ball, maybe include some strength and conditioning and whatever else, a trainer or two, and they all sat down and they said, depth chart for this season, if we had to play tomorrow, go. And I feel like half of that, maybe even two-thirds of that, will probably play itself out and would probably be accurate. They've seen enough. Football coaches know what they're looking at. You know, Willie Martinez, after 2.5 weeks of coaching these guys and seeing them in practice, probably has a pretty good idea of who that's going to be, but not 100%. Even when you get ready to play in the fall, oftentimes you're not 100%, right? I mean, you're leaning, so you give one guy the first opportunity, but then the lights come on and you never know. The guy that kind of disappeared in practice is your best player. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the heck? He's a gamer. All right, well, let's make him a better practice player because we can't keep him off the field. Like, I just feel like if they did that right now, a half to two-thirds of the positions would be pretty easy to fill, and the other half to a third, they'd have no idea.
And even behind those starters, creating depth, very important. Got to, you know, Christian Charles, who is a early enrollee, Tamarian McDonald, of course, who was a true freshman last year. Those guys getting a lot of reps in the secondary, safety, and a star, and other places like that. You know, trying to find some depth in the secondary because, you know, Tennessee, even under the Jeremy Pruitt era, Tennessee ran five defensive backs the majority of the time. Tennessee will probably run five defensive backs the majority of the time. That's kind of what college football is nowadays. You're replacing a linebacker with a defensive back, and that's kind of what that star is. And so creating depth behind those guys, There's a lot of bodies, a lot of experience up front. The defensive line is just getting the most out of that unit. And believe me, Ronnie Garner's up for that challenge. I can hear it every day I'm out there. And obviously finding some guys to play linebacker. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Probably two-thirds of that will play out. But even more important than that almost is just finding guys who can come in and replace them if they have to, or come in with a breather, and just finding quality depth on this football team. And that's what spring practice is all about.
I have all but already accepted the fact that we are not going to have quality depth. Maybe we get there at some point, but when your conversation is 50% of the guys, we don't even know who the guy should be. You know, like,
yeah,
it's between these couple guys. Then, yeah, that means you have more than one guy that can play, for sure. You know, so that's good. But it's hard to have depth unless you have good starters. You know, it's almost like, I almost feel like I'm not capable of grasping the depth conversation because I'm still trying to grasp who actually is going to be out there playing if they're healthy.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of coaches, and some have different philosophies. Like, they're from Butch and Zach Azani to every receiver that we have, and maybe a couple cousins and a little brother, we're going to let them all play. From that to Pruitt, when it came to defensive backs and really finding the ones he liked and then not giving too many other guys a chance, like, somewhere in between all that is the guys that want you to play the best players, but they also don't want the first time the other guys are going to come in to be when you get a sprain, an ankle sprain, and then they have to find out what the depth looks like. It's somewhere in between all that, but I'll get to the depth conversation as we get closer to who the starters are going to be. There's a lot of positives, though. I mean, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer or all negative or anything like that. You set out to have spring practice to learn a little about your team. They're doing that, and then they'll move on to the next phase.
Yeah, certainly there were positives. Cade May's a positive. Cedric Tillman a positive. The Jimmies are a positive right now. There's athletes on this football team. There's good football players, and trying to get better. That's what spring practice is all about. Man, I appreciate you letting me hang out here today this last hour.
Your autograph's in the mail.
Appreciate you guys more so for listening. Brian Rice will be back on the Tuesday edition of the Hurricane Show. Can't wait for it. Guys, appreciate it. This is the Hurricane Show. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.